to the near post. Messi to the net. Mamma mia! Romelu Chiocco now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise. La Pantarita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the renterswarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get rolling here tonight. Big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. Personal injury attorneys, they're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Man, do we have a show for you tonight. We are going to preview the Club America Santos Laguna Mexican League Championship. First game is Thursday. Sorry, Club America and Cruz Azul. I'm looking at tickets I'm giving away to Club America Santos Laguna. We're going to give some of those away tonight. But the Liga MX final is between Club America and Cruz Azul, an all-Mexico City affair. We're going to break that down tonight with ESPN FC's Tom Marshall. Also, we have on the show from Atlanta United, MLS Cup champion, former Portland Timber, midfielder Darlington Nagbe, also of the U.S. national team. Former Dynamo, Kofi Sarkodie, who played in Europe last year. We're going to talk to Kofi. And Victor Ariza, who was down in Atlanta and took in the MLS Cup final in person, will come on to talk some of his thoughts on the environment and what was just an amazing watershed moment for Major League Soccer. 73,000 fans. They knock off the Portland Timbers. Would love your take at 713-780-3776. MLS Cup mania in Atlanta. 210 NCAA Division I college teams started the season. One standing at the top, it's Maryland. They are the national champions. They win over Akron 1-0 on a penalty kick in that match. Spoke with Matt Jordan. I'll bring you up to date on some of the Houston Dynamo news, what we can get. We do know one thing today in the expansion draft. FC Cincinnati took Eric Alexander. So we'll talk about that as well. Atlanta United constantly in the news. And I remind you again, by being constantly in the news, Tata Martino, the whole worry of him leaving, the whole coverage of him leaving, the talk of Miguel Almiron being moved to Europe, all of that is attention and growing the brand of Atlanta United. Even though it's something that Atlanta United fans don't want to accept or have accepted, it's a conversation. It's a topic. We've talked about it on this show. We've talked about Almiron. We talked about how if River Plate's Pity Martinez comes, who has apparently been bought for $17 million, how will that change the playing style of Atlanta United? Pity Martinez is a different player than Miguel Almiron. He's an orchestrator. He's a tempo guy. He'll slow the game sometimes down. Will Atlanta United's purpose of play and stylistically, will they change? I'm sure they're still going to be aggressive going forward, but it's a very different guy if you're considering him a like-for-like replacement for Miguel Almiron. 713-780-3776. Watershed moment for you? The MLS Cup, did it live up to it for you? 713-780-3776. And does this raise the bar in Major League Soccer? Is parity a word that now we need to eliminate from MLS? We want consequence. We want villains. We want teams that are doing it in different ways to make this exciting and entertaining. All right, we're going to do a little bit of game on for 90 here, I think, Tyler Scott. So if we can get the intro to that here, and I'm going to want your reaction after this, okay?
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
Presented by Bud Light. Game on.
All right, the word super club, I believe, has been trademarked by Alexi Lalas here in the United States when it comes to MLF. Yeah, it's often overused. It might be a drinking game. But in this case, it's reality for Atlanta United. in this moment in Major League Soccer, some like to say that Atlanta United has gotten to where they are just by outspending people. Stop the nonsense. If you claim you're an MLS fan and you don't understand and stand up and applaud what Arthur Blank and his club have done, then you truly don't want to see the bar raised for MLS in this country. Atlanta is the greatest thing to happen to MLS since Portland and Seattle arrived on the scene. The bar is set even higher. Teams like Atlanta are separating themselves in the new MLS, and parity is now the most unfashionable of words. This is not simply about the dollars invested. This is about wisely investing dollars, hiring top talent in the front office that developed an overall blueprint and identity for a club that included placing the fan first and developing an on-field purpose of play that has become a calling card under Tata Martino. It's identifiable to the fans. It's what they expect. Atlanta United has been woven in a short amount of time into the fabric of sports in Atlanta. They defined the narrative. And oh, by the way, I've been told that Atlanta is a lousy sports town. It's not a lousy soccer town, not based on what I'm seeing. How many more season tickets do you think they'll sell after winning the title? Could they breach 70,000? Will they cap it? Do the math. I call that a champagne problem. Josef Martínez, the MLS Cup MVP, and Miguel Almirón were unknown young South American talents to most. Now they are among the most celebrated athletes in Atlanta, proving you can create your own stars at your super club. Super club, super manager, super plan to bring super fans. The next chapter of Atlanta United already in motion. They have also been humble in that they have recognized the efforts of those before them. Pity Martinez for $17 million expected to come to Atlanta United. Club interviewed replacements for Tata Martino, including Guillermo Barros-Schelotto, and are already on the move making changes for sustaining their super club image and their super club investment to their fans and community. Owner Arthur Blank has said that this success can be duplicated in other markets. So thank you, Atlanta, for raising the bar, for getting all MLS teams to examine their own practices and relevancy in their markets. This is only healthy for all of us involved. This is a positive. And as for super club and bar raising, you know what? Let's raise a glass and toast a watershed moment in MLS history provided by Atlanta United. Thank you for raising the bar. Now, MLS clubs and fans that have reached out to me, that have complained and just given me the argument that it's simply about the dollars, find a way to beat them. And that is Game On for 90. And with that, I bring in a guy that was down at the MLS Cup and got to experience it firsthand. I had the opportunity to do a national broadcast there earlier in the year. So that's how I got to experience what is this phenomenon down there. Victor Ariza joins us now. And Victor, just take us into what the day was like and just the atmosphere and the feel.
Well, definitely made for a historic game, as we knew it was going to be, because you know, we all knew the attendance record was going to be broken with this game. 73,019
atmosphere
people.
I already said 73,000. Give me the atmosphere. Yeah. You were there.
Well, outside, cold, rainy, but that didn't stop people from going to the stadium. I don't think the TV broadcast did it any justice, because I mean, I was in awe. It's not that I've never, I mean, I've been in an NRG when it's been sold out. It's not, but this is different. This is not the Mexican national team. This is not the U.S. national team. This is an MLS game. Something that I think will live in infamy in the history of U.S.
How
soccer for years.
How big was the feel in there? What struck you? The acoustics, the makeup of the fan? What was it?
The electricity. Every fan was engaged. You know, the Atlanta fans, the Portland fans that made the travel. You know, you'd look up to see, you know, all the way to the rafters. Everybody was feeling this, what it was, an MLS Cup final, and it wasn't all soccer fans in there, I'm sure, and it was, you know, different ethnicities, different people. You know, you could see the different backgrounds. You can see the concourse was empty because everybody was watching the game. It's just it was quite possibly maybe the best MLS Cup final, I think.
It is from an attendance standpoint, from all the buzz going around it,
the game. The game itself had its own storyline.
That's not even in question. The actual drama of the game, that's another thing. But I guess the other thing we do need to point out that the Portland Timbers traveling fans, too, you really got to give them some credit, because there was an awful lot of people there coming from the Pacific Northwest to Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, they were at the top level, but you can hear them all the way at the bottom. Maybe about two and a half sections filled. I mean, these were a bunch of fans, all obviously all respectful. I mean, especially when you look at the events we've seen, right, in the Libertadores and in the Champions League as well, where there's been violence, you know, overly passionate. No, that wasn't the case here. It was healthy fan excitement.
So here's one thing I want to go into, and we're going to get more of your thoughts on this. So here's a couple days after. Greg Garza starts the MLS Cup Final, has a very good game, and he's already on his way to FC Cincinnati after a trade was made for Tam and Gam. So this is professional sports. This guy is now going from the top of MLS to now what in some ways is considered the bottom, an expansion team in FC Cincinnati. Now, there's going to be a lot of excitement in Cincinnati. Can you imagine how Greg Garza feels? But before I get into that, let's go to Darren Eales, who's one of the executives of Atlanta United. This is a team that's not resting on it. During the week, they were interviewing other coaches to replace Tata Martino. These guys are not resting on their laurels. They understand that they have struck a vein of gold here. But they did a lot to enhance this themselves. Here's Darren Eales of Atlanta United.
You know, credit goes to Arthur Blank, our owner, because he brought me in 4 years ago and gave me that, you know, almost a two-year runway to put the team together. And I think we did a great job on the balance of the experienced players like the Michael Parkers and the Jeff Laurentiewicz, the draft picks like a Julian Gressel and a Miles Robinson. And then, you know, obviously Jose Martinez, Miguel Almiron, Tito Villalba. You know, I think we got more right than wrong. And look, Tata as a coach just did an amazing job. So couldn't be more happy with the way that the team played this second season. And look, you need some luck. Portland are a fantastic team. But today we had those breaks when it counted, and you know, fortunately we got the win.
You got to love them. And yes, for those that say, oh, it's just because Tata had great players. Well, he, along with Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra, had a say in the players. But just having good players doesn't mean it's going to be a cohesive, good team. Here's the owner, Arthur Blank, who you saw on the field. He was apparently asked to go down early, and he kept telling the officials that he didn't want to go down early based on what happened in the NFL. Eventually, he got down there. He lifted the trophy. Here is Atlanta owner, Arthur Blank.
Well, it means a lot for me personally, but more importantly, it means a great deal for the family of Atlanta, for the family of soccer in North America. It's a great tribute. I mean, this is a good example of the potential of soccer in every major city throughout this great continent. And we have the eighth most attended games in the history of Major League Soccer, 73,000 tonight. And this can be duplicated elsewhere. I have great confidence in Major League Soccer, great confidence in the partners. And Rule 3 is to be here tonight with holding up that cup. It's a great tribute.
How powerful is that from Atlanta owner Arthur Blank, saying it can be duplicated, saying this can happen in other markets. Pretty powerful.
I believe it because I got to speak with some people, especially the other reporters there in the press box at the game. And one of them from Atlanta was telling me that he had his doubts that this is going to last. He said the city is very multicultural. The city is a very bandwagon town. And I couldn't help but think that that's what people say about Houston. And this is working in Atlanta. Why couldn't it work here? And I think you had mentioned in the previous thing it was because of the customer service, and it's evident. I mean, I think that's the part that struck me
the most when I was down there was how the fan was put first. I mean, there's pricing of concessions. There's the whole pomp and circumstance of the players have to go through this very intimate line where they touch the hands of the fans. They're slapping people five. They're signing autographs.
You can't ignore them.
They're looking directly into the eyes of their fans, and you can't ignore them.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. You walk around downtown, there's bars with Atlanta United, you know, stickers on the front. There's, you know, yesterday after the championship parade, downtown, there's a guy, just like here in Houston, after the World Series, the Astros, everybody was trying to sell, even if it's like bootleg Astros stuff. I mean, there's a guy with his stand selling Atlanta United gear. You know, you get to the stadium, you look away from the stadium, three billboards within the block all say Atlanta United. I mean, you can't. And you talk to people. You talk to the common Atlanta person. They know who Atlanta United is. Even if they don't know much about soccer, they know about Atlanta United.
All the cab drivers, the Uber drivers, everybody knows who they are. I mean, people are flooded all over the place. The minute you hit the airport, there's stuff's all over the airport. It is really a phenomenon. And, you know, I know there's the naysayer out there going, well, we'll see if it lasts and all that. Well, no kidding. My gut is, though, by what I hear coming from the club and the things that they're doing, number one, they're in total, total humility when it comes to realizing that this is not game, set, and match, that this is a call to arms to work even harder. There is no resting on the laurels here of Atlanta United. Okay, that's for sure. Now, I know you're probably getting sick and tired of me of talking about Atlanta United, but they're the story in MLS. 713-780-3776. MLS fan, Dynamo fan, do you believe that Atlanta United now is good for the game here in the United States? As much as you may be tired of hearing about them. I'll tell you what, the way they play, it's destination television for me. I think it's destination TV when they play. It's an exciting attacking style of soccer. And it was also altered to Tata Martino's credit. He pulled off philosophically what he believes in the game to play a little bit more direct in certain playoff matches in order to make sure that his team advanced to the MLS Cup.
Yeah, but it's an attitude that they play with. I feel the way when you see Atlanta United play, they also represent the city of Atlanta. You know, there's no disconnect, and you see it with the fans. Again, of all languages, there were Hispanic fans. There was Hispanic chants in that stadium, which maybe a lot of people doesn't translate again across the broadcast. There's many reasons why it's succeeding, but I'm glad that they won, because had they lost that final, people would have been saying, "See, you don't need to spend that much money, and it doesn't guarantee a title." Well. And now people are saying this is a new MLS, adapt or die. Yeah, I've seen a bunch of tweets that night. Everybody's saying adapt because this is a new MLS. This is MLS 3.0. And if you don't invest, you're not going to make it.
Well, it makes it exciting. I mean, this is their challenge now. They got to continue every day to keep the momentum and the excitement. They're not going to take the season off in the off season. They're going to be trying to push out storylines, keep the excitement going. I mean, there's excitement already there that's organically happening because Tata Martino is going to leave. So is Guillermo Barra Schelotto, who we just watched on TV coaching Boca Juniors, who won a title with Columbus. Is he coming here to be the coach? And if he comes, guess who he's coaching? He's coaching again. He's going to be coaching Pity Martinez, who was on River Plate, their hated rival. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Who might be arriving as a world champion if
he's
going to
play in the Club World Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it is really exciting because these organic storylines are popping up everywhere. Look at the Dynamo. I mean, Mauro Manotas had an incredible season this year. This guy was amongst the elite strikers in this league, including Josef Martinez of Atlanta, but we don't have the mainstream coverage. And, you know, we go out of sight, out of mind. We go dark. We put the ball away down here too often. I mean, I don't even get Dynamo calls. Where are the Dynamo calls? If somebody cares about the Dynamo right now, call me. 713-780-3776. I'm dying for some engagement. And we're going to talk about Matt Jordan as well on the show tonight. 713-780-3776. Tell you what, you call in with a good Dynamo question right now, I'll give you a pair of tickets to Club America Santos Laguna. But you got to ask a question about the Houston Dynamo. 713-780-3776. Sixth caller right now gets a pair of tickets to Club America Santos Laguna. But you got to stay on the line and you got to ask a good question. Sixth caller, 713-780-3776. First hour brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Victor, thank you very much.
You got it.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play, and we ride on them things like every day. Big beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming, and parties don't stop till 8.
You were listening. listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. By the way, the Houston Dash today naming James Clarkson the head coach. So the Dash will go into their season with a new head coach. Also, a couple of the Dash players likely will be in the Women's World Cup this summer. A little bit more on that in the draw on the show tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. I mean, there is a ton to talk about. By the way, the quality of goals in River Plate's 3-1 win over Boca Juniors was out of this world. If you have not seen those goals, you got to go check those goals out. They were absolutely unbelievable. Just the quality of them. Absolute packed stadium. I know a lot of people told me that they thought the luster was off the Copa Libertadores. 713-780-3776. Quick word here, soccer fans, I got a new sponsor here, Tri-Eagle Energy. There's synergy with their energy because they're also the official provider of the Houston Dynamo, Houston Dash, BBVA Compass Stadium. Let's talk energy. There are a lot of energy providers out there. There's always different offers ranging from free weekends, free days, cash bonuses, and the list goes on. You may have fallen for one of these. I have. And months later, you find out you're paying a higher rate or there are additional fees on your bill. It's different with Tri-Eagle Energy. They keep it simple. The rate you see is the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. Check out Tri-Eagle Energy, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use the promo code ESPN for an additional discount. TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN. All right, let's get some phone calls going. 713-780-3776. All right, Frederick, you are going to the BBVA Compass December 29th match between Club America and Santos Laguna. What is your question, sir?
Yes, basically it's two questions. First off, with all the options we've declined, or the Dynamo declined, what personnel moves do you think the Dynamo need to make in the off season? And secondly, since you were at the Final Four this past weekend, is there any college talent out there that the Dynamo can look at? And sprouting off of that, why do you think the NCAA went to a smaller stadium and not went to a MLS soccer-specific stadium this year as opposed to previous years?
Nice. And by the way, before you go, Frederick, I want to ask you, if you watch some of those games, did you think there was some talent out there? Because the Dynamo do need to utilize the college draft. I talked to Matt Jordan about that. They have the 8th overall pick, and they have a pick in, I believe, the 3rd round. I'm gonna check that in a minute here. But did you, watching those games, see any players that you could see fit in Major League Soccer?
I couldn't tell you any of the names off the top of my head. I did watch the games, but I do know that we do need to get younger. As Victor said earlier, that the MLS is evolving. It's getting a lot more dynamic. It's getting a lot faster. And our back line is older. I know the options we declined with DeMarcus and Philippe and whatnot, they're on the wrong side of 30. So I do know we need to get younger, and I think younger talent will bring in some more fans. I don't know if we'll bring enough fans to fill the seats like it did in Atlanta, but I do know that we do need to get younger.
Yeah, and that is one of the things Matt Jordan did tell me today, is that he does want this team to get younger. I don't think there's any question. They've done that through the front four certainly is young, but they do need to get younger, and especially in that center back position. Frederick, do not hang up because we need to get your information so we can get you the tickets. Great questions. We'll address them. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're very welcome. Glad Soccer Matters.
All right, Frederick, you rock. Let's go to Miguel. Miguel, what's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Glenn, how you doing?
I'm good, Miguel. How are you? You don't have to use Mr., though, but I appreciate it. That's very kind of you, and you were raised properly by your family, I'm sure. Your parents.
I just have a lot of respect for you, Glenn. Honestly, a lot of respect for everything you do, especially for the Dynamo. I know we don't have that many fans, but the ones that we do have, we're very passionate, and I listen to your show all the time, Glenn.
Well, that is no question. The fans that are Dynamo fans, they are extremely loyal, no question. So what else is on your mind, Miguel?
Well, I wanted to talk to you especially about Atlanta. I mean, I know there's a you're talking about the fans and everything. I think one thing that's very important, I know the players are important, but I think it's winning. That's something we haven't done lately, and something that basically took all the fans out of the stadium. I mean, when we were winning, we were packing the stadium up every single game. Now that we're losing, I mean, it's very hard to go to the stadium and see we play a final and it's not even halfway full, basically.
Well, I'm going to look at that in a couple ways, but I've answered that to a lot of people. The first thing is, this team won consistently at home in 2017, consistently, with an exciting brand of soccer, a wide-based game. We finally had the element of team speed back in after very slow and sluggish teams for a number of years that were very methodical, that weren't, I'm going to be honest, they weren't very entertaining, frankly. And we needed something fresh. We got it in 2017. We won at home. We had goal scorers. And we had exciting games. And I didn't see it tick the needle at all. So I think winning is certainly a big part of it. It's a component, though. It's a component. What's going on in Atlanta, yeah, definitely winning is the platform you want to go off of when you're trying to embrace a community. But there's no question there's other things that have to be done in order to sell your soccer club and embed it into the fabric of a soccer community. You know, remember, we had a lot of novelty factor when we inherited that wonderful team from San Jose that was coming into a league at the time that had 12 teams, and it was very different, and we had novelty factor. We weren't able to sustain it. That's the challenge Atlanta has now, but everything I'm hearing and saying, hearing them do, it's about sustaining it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they're doing everything pretty perfect. If you ask me over there, I mean, they're getting the South American players that we're not getting. A lot of times I ask myself, why hasn't MLS done that? Mexican League, honestly, has always been better than us, than MLS. I think Atlanta can compete. I think they could beat almost any team in Mexican League right now. But it's because of the South American players. And I think Houston Dynamo needs to do the same thing. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I mean, they certainly got areas they have to address. South America, I know, is a place Matt Jordan has been. Argentina, I know they've been to Europe this year as well. And I'm going to let you know some of the things that he told me in a little bit on the show. We're going to get into some of the things. He did mention that they have something out to a midfielder. I asked him if he could tell us if the midfielder was European or South American. He didn't really want to reveal that. But I think they need somebody, I believe, that you know, can complement Tomas Martinez as well and get in front of him sometimes when he picks up the ball. Miguel, thank you for your loyalty to the show. I appreciate it. And we got a couple of great guests coming on right now. So, very pleased to have on. He's an MLS Cup winner with Atlanta United. You know him from the U.S. national team. You know him from this past Sunday's dramatic MLS Cup win. Darlington Nagbe joining us, as well as his good friend and our friend Kofi Sarkodie. They both join us now on the show. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for having us.
All right, so Darlington, I got to tell you, Kofi said, he said, look, you know, I'm kind of Darlington's agent. He doesn't come on your show without me. That was a joke.
He is. I run everything past him. Yeah. He has a better judgment, so it's going to actually go through him.
All right. Tell me, first of all, Darlington, we just got to ask you the obvious question off the top here. This has been remarkable from Atlanta United, your performance here. Just kind of give us your feelings about winning the cup and how this team is so woven into the fabric of the city of Atlanta.
Oh, it's great. Obviously, when I joined the team, I saw the support, you know, from afar. But joining the team, you really get to experience it. How much the city backed the whole team and how much they were starving for a championship. And I'm happy that we got the chance to bring that to them. And the championship game, what a game. To hold that game at home in front of our fans, in front of the community, and to see everyone's faces after the ceremony and everything like that and the parade, it was great. And I'm just glad I got a chance to be a part of it.
Now, don't forget, this is Darlington against his former team, the Portland Timbers. How was this a fresh start for you in Atlanta, and why was this significant in your career? Because we all know moves at certain times are very important for players.
No, I think it was just good for me and for my family and myself, just, you know, get a change of scenery. I was in Portland for a very long time. I think I was starting to get really comfortable, get used to everything, and I just wanted another move and the opportunity to be on a team that can win another championship, and I got that in Atlanta.
Darlington, what was it about Tata Martino that, you know, as a manager stuck out to you? Because every player I've talked to, and I've had a number of your teammates on the show, and everyone you talk to, Dario Sala's been on, just talks about what a leader this man is, what a leader of men he is.
Yeah, I think that's obviously you see the style of football that we play, but I think one of his biggest attributes is getting the team to buy in, getting everyone to work together, getting everyone to buy into what he's trying to do and work for that common goal. And I think that we did that this year.
All right, so Darlington Dagby joining us, so is Kofi Sarkodie, has been a great friend of this show. Kofi, thank you, as always, for coming on. Tell us about the European experience this year.
Glenn, thanks for having me. It was interesting. It's been I had a good time over there, and it's a different style of soccer, a different style of living. But you get to play in some pretty cool, neat stadiums like Malmö and Hammarby and, AIK, some of these teams that play in Champions League. So from that perspective, you get a really good idea and a really good competition of kind of European level.
And, I had you on the show before, and we did talk about what is different over there when it comes to training, and I do believe you leaned a little bit toward the tactical side of the game.
Yeah, I think so. I think I think one thing, too, that's a big difference is, like, just the way they train. There is kind of, and I think every league is a little bit different, but there is kind of a weight towards the tactics of, when a certain guy is in this position, how the whole team's supposed to kind of fold and move to make sure he has options. And they really focus on overloading certain sides and how to get those numerical advantages, and then how to attack with those numerical advantages and kind of take the space. And so it's a little bit different. It's less of a free-for-all and more of kind of like a chess match of how and when we're going to get into these positions.
Now, what's the future hold for you right now? Staying in Europe? Do you want to come back to Major League Soccer? You would be a great option for a number of teams at the right back position. What's going on with you now?
Yeah, so now I'm open to a lot of different possibilities. Like you said, there's a lot of teams coming out. FC Cincinnati's joining the league next year. Of course, that's hometown for me. It's just about 40 minutes up the street. Big brother Kwame played a lot of matches and for University of Cincinnati, so I'm really familiar with that area. So I'm definitely open to that possible move or moves within the league. And then also, I had a decent stint, pretty good stint, with the team I was on in Europe. So there's some possibilities there that I'm looking into as well, and kind of we'll see where things settle come January.
No, we're going to stay abreast with you. Darlington Nagby of Atlanta United, Kofi Sarkodie joining us now, a long time in Major League Soccer. You know him here from Houston, scored that great playoff goal back when he was down here. You guys both went to Akron, very defined playing style. Caleb Porter was your coach. Jared Embick, I believe, was your assistant at the time, now the head coach. The fact that you played that style of soccer, possession-based and with a real purpose with the ball, I have to think it was very important in your careers.
I
would say so. Being under under Caleb and Jared, both of them together, I think did a great job of implementing that style of play. What we played in college, I think we were probably one of the first teams, if not the first teams, to try and possess the ball and play good soccer and try to attack. So I think just playing that style and that coaching got us ready for the next level. And now they've had a good season, made it to the College Cup Finals and lost. And I'm looking forward to see what they have to do in the future.
Kofi?
Yeah, I think it was neat. I mean, Nags and I, we always talk a lot about that style, the style of play that we had at Akron. But more importantly was like the fact that everybody on the pitch was really bought in and so focused. Like we'd be in training sessions, if someone would miss a pass in possession or miss a cross in training, guys would be so frustrated, because the level was so high. So this just like that, the attention to details on the technique, the moving off the ball, keeping possession, and playing attacking football was really kind of like, I'd say Nags would agree, because we would talk about this all the time, you know, after hours or after training about just that attention to detail and how important it would be for us to utilize that moving forward to try to win that championship.
When you guys are in college and you guys are hanging out, obviously you're very, very good friends. You got any good funny moment you can tell us about? Stealing food from the cafeteria?
Kofi was a biology major, and I was a sports management major. So going to practice, this guy always had his note cards in his hand studying, walking to practice, which was about an eight-minute walk or so, under 5 minutes. And it was just funny to see him walking, you know, studying and making sure he got accomplished everything he needed to get accomplished before he trained. And then after training, on the walk back to the locker room, he had those note cards out again and studying. So just things like that. And I think it's paid off now.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, Kofi, your shot at Darlington now.
All right. You got to see this, actually. This you have to see live. But whenever, after like a big game or something, before Coach Caleb would get on the bus, we'd all be on the bus quick. We'd all be on the bus early. And Darlington would get on the bus, and he would do his impersonation of Coach Caleb, which is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. So we'd have the guys rolling before we even got on the bus. So then he'd get on the bus, and Coach started talking about the game. And Nag's already done his impersonation and already done everything he was going to say. So we'd all just be laughing about it.
And you'd get the content right of it, too, though?
You'd
know exactly
perfect.
What he was going to say?
Yeah.
I knew when he wasn't pleased, though. And I knew when he was pleased if we had a good performance.
You know what they're saying in Radio Land right now, Darlington? Think about it. You know what they're saying? They're saying right now, why doesn't Glenn Davis ask Darlington to do a Caleb Porter imitation?
No. Those are private.
Okay. That's fine. I had to ask the question because, you know, I had to ask the question. We won't. I didn't think you'd want to go there. All right. So I want to swing it back to Darlington right now. That's a good one, though. The technical side of your game, and I know your dad was international and your dad was a soccer player or he was a footballer. The emphasis on the technical side of the game, because, you know, we all are wowed by how smooth you are, how effortless I think you are with the ball at your feet. I mean, I think, you know, we all want to be effortless athletes. We all can't be. But that skill set that you have is razor sharp. Where does a lot of that come from? Where was that developed and who put the emphasis on it?
I think just the way I grew up, I don't know if a lot of people know, but I was born in Liberia. I was there for about 5 months, and I lived in Europe for about 10 years and then moved to Cleveland, Ohio when I was 10 years old. So when growing up over there, soccer, football is the main sport. So you're playing every single day, whether it's just out in the streets with your friends or at school for recess and lunch. And then you're playing twice a day, and then you go and you have practice. And if you don't have practice, then you're playing with your friends. So you're playing all different types of surfaces, on cement, you know, whatever type of ball you can find. So I think that really helped shape my game. You know, that is practice, even though it doesn't feel like practice. You're just having fun in it and entertaining yourself with your friends. But I think that played a big part in my game and my development. And then just coming here and having Caleb at Akron helping me fine-tune everything, it all just worked out.
Yeah, so your dad's playing career took you to Europe.
Mm-hmm. So we lived there for a little bit and traveled to a couple different countries and things like that.
Awesome. Kofi, how about you growing up? How much organic play did you have? How much play, you know, just with your buddies in the neighborhood without some coach telling you what to do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my two older brothers, before he played in Indiana, he played with the youth national team, you know, U-20s with Michael Bradley, Freddie, Dennis Tell, those guys. And then Kwame, as I mentioned earlier, he played at UC. So I was always kind of playing up with these guys. And, like, you know, I couldn't really beat them physically, so I had to kind of fine-tune my technique as much as I could. And I put a lot of work into it, just, like, every day with my brothers, you know, out on the pitch. And then, you know, after school, just going back at it and working a lot by myself individually.
Darlington, when I look at the two environments you played in, and you know, I played in the 80s, and there was not crowds like this. Empty NFL stadiums or high school stadiums. And I look at the two clubs, you know, you've played your professional career in front of crowds. I mean, there's no question. Did you ever think you were going to get to play in these two types of markets where the sport is real, the pressure becomes more real because of the amount of people interested, good mainstream media coverage? do you think about that, and do you say I'm pretty grateful for those opportunities?
Yeah, I'm definitely grateful for it. I think coming up and when I was looking at the next level, when you start thinking about the next level, that's what you hope for and dream of playing in front of, you know. But obviously, in this country, you know, it's not always the case. And I'm just lucky and blessed that I've had the opportunity to play in front of two great crowds, two great organizations, and being able to win with both of them. But for me, I think it's great when you go out there. You know, I think having these type of fan bases lets you know that you're not just playing for yourself and, you know, and your family and whatever goals you have. But I think it's great just giving fans opportunities and memories that'll last a lifetime.
How about against the Timbers this past Sunday and just playing with you know, Miguel Almiron and Yosef Martinez? Mm-hmm. What a support system you have. You've got these older veterans getting it done and Jeff Larenowitz and Michael Parkhurst. I mean, there's so many guys I could talk about on this team, and I'm not neglecting anybody, but the makeup of the players I find so interesting, and your playing style, I think, is just one that I think the fans embrace that too. I mean, there's an expectation of, hey, this is the way Atlanta United plays a game.
Oh, yeah, I think that's one of the great things about soccer. You have, you know, you just named a couple guys. We have guys from so many different backgrounds and different ages, and you get to bring them together and achieve something great. And I think the organization did a great job of scouting and picking guys that fit the style of play that they wanted to play. And same with Tata, you know, picking guys that fit the style of play that they wanted to play in. For me, I've just been lucky being able to play with these guys. Obviously, you know, everyone knows Yosef Martinez and Miguel Almiron, but, you know, the whole team, the whole squad, like you said, Michael Parkhurst and Jeff Larenowitz, just great players, all-around pros that have been in the league a long time. Brad Guzan in the goal, just Greg Garza. So many players. I can name all of them. I'm lucky and blessed to have the opportunity to play with them, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Yeah, I have a feeling they'd say the same about you, Darlington. It would be nice playing hopefully. The game next to you, I think. I think you could make even somebody like me look good, you know. Kofi, you know what it's like playing with Darlington. How easy can he make the game for you?
Well, I was actually going to add on to your conversation, you know, and I give Darlington credit here, you know, just this time around, bro. But if you look at his team in Portland, you look at his team in Atlanta, you look at the guys around them, they've been different types of players. Valeri's a different type of player than Almiron, you know. Chara is a different type of player, you know, than some of the players and the other midfielders in Atlanta. And I think the consistency of Nags' game and his fluidity to play with different styles of play, I think he's definitely shown that over the years, and I think that's a real, 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 real big credit to him. And I think, like I said, he's done a great job in the midfield developing. And you know, you see him going low, you see him going high. You know, he's during the match, he's getting shots off, he's tracking back. You know, so I mean, again, I think that's a big credit to him.
Yeah, Darlington, is it fair to call you an all-around midfielder? Because, you know, I think sometimes you got unfairly pinned and people would go to numbers and say, well, this is why Darlington Nagbe's not playing well in the media. And I go, wait a second, what are you talking about? He's linking play up. He's doing everything you would want him to do. So what if he isn't scoring goals? Did you ever kind of feel like you were getting pigeonholed by the whole statistical number game?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I felt negatively about it. It's more so it's not understanding it, I would say. Obviously, yeah. Me and Kofi and I had these talks a bunch of times, but for me, it was just I never saw myself as that person, that type of player. So it just didn't make sense to me, or I just didn't want to be that player. So I'm just happy with the role I have now and the position I'm in now. But I know I'm capable of playing a certain style. You know, I think if you're athletic, you can run past a couple guys and do things like that. Expect you to be a goal scorer and things, but that's not always the case. You know, I enjoy the game, like Kofi said, tracking back, defending, starting the attack, bringing guys in the game, trying to play final passes. So I enjoy all aspects of the game.
Darlington Nagbe joining us, Kofi Sarkodie. Darlington, what was the one thing that Tata Martino did with you that might have stretched your game a little bit?
I would just say tactically. I would say tactically and trusting the team a little bit more. I think that helped a lot in terms of every player has a role. You don't have to do too much. Stick to your job. Stick to your role and do your job and trust that your teammate is going to be in the position that he's supposed to be. Yeah. And working as a machine, as a team.
Yeah, excellent. Are you excited about Greg Berhalter being the manager for the U.S.?
Yeah, I am. I've seen, you know, obviously playing against Columbus throughout the years and him being there and seeing how they play. And, you know, a clear identity of what they want to do and what they want to achieve. I'm excited about it, and I'm sure all the guys that are part of the national team somehow are excited about it as well. And I think the fans are also.
Kofi, I'm glad you're back stateside. Are you going to make your way down to Houston at all?
I'd probably stop in Atlanta first, but we'll see. I might be down there.
All right. Well, let us know if you make your way down here. Guys, I got to tell you, this was really fun. I really appreciate your insight. I'm sure everybody has really enjoyed this. Thank you both for calling in and making it easy on us. Darlington, congratulations again on the MLS Cup. Continued success. Love watching you play. Kofi, I love watching you play as well. Looking forward to seeing where you're going to end up with your next club. Gentlemen, you guys have a great holiday, great Christmas. Thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Appreciate you, Glenn. Merry
Thank
Christmas.
You very much.
How are you, everybody?
All right, Kofi Sarkodie saying hi to everybody here in Houston. Darlington, Nagbe, two great guys, two Akron guys, two guys that have had outstanding pro careers. Gentlemen, thank you very much. All right, so that was Darlington Nagbe, fresh off the MLS Cup win. Kofi Sarkodie, if you got thoughts now, let's get some phone calls going. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Tell you what, how about a pair of tickets right now? And we are going to do some Liga MX talk here tonight with Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. We're going to break down Cruz Azul and Club America. Now, think about this. I don't want to confuse you, but Club America is coming to Houston in BBVA Compass Stadium. They will take on Santos Laguna. This is December 29th. Now, they could be coming here as the Liga MX champions. Okay? I got two free tickets right now. Caller number 7 at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Seventh caller, Club America, Santos Laguna at BBVA Compass Stadium, December 29th. Taking a King's Court break. Go down to King's Court. Say hello to Jay.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, this is a good tackle by Parker. It's almost going to fall for Martinez. That's it. I'll try to get there. Martinez finishes to give away the man. The opening goal of MLS Cup 2018. Wrestle the fake this time. Almiron swinging in, Martinez on the backside, a goal!
That would do it, Atlanta United MLS Cup winners. By the way, Liverpool and Spurs advancing today in the Champions League. So if anybody wants to weigh in on the chances for Liverpool and Spurs here as we get into the knockout phases, let's definitely talk about that. I need to get back to Frederick's questions. He said, what personnel move should the Dynamo make? Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of very obvious ones. Strengthen the center back position. Based on the fact that the Dynamo protected AJ De La Garza, that's a real sign to me that he has really responded well to the knee injury. So that, you know, that will help the Dynamo at the right back position. If you remember this year, they had to have Andrew Wenger there. But I think the college draft has to be utilized to find some defenders, midfield players that are versatile, that can round out the roster, that can be developed. The Dynamo have not used the college draft that well in the past, and in some ways have also, you know, maybe not went there and tried to trade it out for cash and things like that. So I definitely think, for me, it's the center back position has to be addressed because that can hide a lot of deficiency. The other position that has to be addressed is in central midfield. And the Dynamo have to get depth in places where you have key players. And it hurt them last year. That was supposed to be Darwin Serén, and I think he's a good player. I think he can get it done. But he was protected as well. So that tells you the Dynamo are happy with him as probably the cover for Juan David Cabezas. That's just my assumption and my judgment. Up front, you're going to need to add another body there. But I think another big piece to me is a two-way midfielder, Darlington Nagbe type guy, somebody that has the capability of playing near Cabezas, but also can get in front of the ball. And in other words, is a threat in front of the ball. Maybe it's 3, 4, 5 runs a game. But if a Tomas Martinez checks back and gets the ball in the hole and gets turned, this is a midfielder that is getting in front of the ball to get on the receiving end of it and can get into the penalty box. Is in a threat offensively. And I think the Dynamo have to be more of a threat from central and midfield in the upcoming season. Not enough long-range threat that opens other things up. If you're going to play against compact defenses, like Matt Jordan, the Dynamo general manager, said, and he said he thought the Dynamo improved in that area, you know, that was how people positioned themselves to Dynamo. They said, hey, break us down, because we don't know if you could break us down. Try it. We know what you pose on the counterattack and with space behind us. But when you kill space behind a defensive block, can the Dynamo break you down? And I think you have to have more of a long-range threat there in order to pull defenses out. If you got somebody who is willing to shoot from longer range, and this is how you tease and get defenses out, no question. So I think that type of midfielder is very important. Obviously, I think we all go right to the center back position, no question. But I think in any team, you think about your key pieces, your three top players. And do you have adequate cover for them if they go down? Now, the verdict on the Dynamo last year, if we're being fair here, because this is one of the things we hear from Wilmer and from Matt, is that, you know, Cabezas going down hurt our season. And that means you didn't have the adequate cover. And it's tough, but that's the way it works. You gotta be able to provide the cover for those players. Now, the Dynamo also become a different team when Albert Elisa, Ramel Kyoto are off the field. They become less dangerous. Can they find that singular player, even if he isn't that great technically, that can still bring that element of speed to replace an Albert Elisa or Ramel Kyoto? That still says to other teams, you know what, we're still going to drop off here a bit because we still have a bit of fear of this guy vertically in behind defenses. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We got some tweets to do. We'll take your phone calls at 713-780-3776. A big reminder here for Bud Light. We've got to thank our friends at Bud Light for all their great support of this show. And Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are ones that really matter. Grab a bucket of Bud Lights, get together with your friends, and make tonight tomorrow's story. Because with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beer, you're building friendships. And always a big thank you to Bud Light for their longtime support of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And you can get a Bud Light down at King's Court. Get over there. It's the real soccer pub in Edo, King's Court, right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins. 13 TVs, a giant big screen at King's Court. Premier League, La Liga, Champions League, Bundesliga. They'll have Liga MX on this Thursday. NFL Sunday Ticket there as well. King's Court has 24 taps, a full bar, extensive selection of spirits, great pub food, incredible Indian food. Butter chicken, curry, pretty sick. Get over to King's Court. The rooftop deck there is also fun. Get in there, say hello to Jay. KingsCourtTX.com. Let's take a King's Court Bud Light break right now.